Welcome, one and all, with your host, Rolando, and his co-host, John. We are the Skeleton Boys.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And I'm Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review The Beach House. As always, John Wilkins.
Yeah, I fucking love this band so much. I was so stoked to revisit their entire discography.
This is like The Who making a musical, right? The Beach, but The Beach House. What is it? Quadrophilia?
This was called the... Should have called it Bommy.
There's no pinball wizards. I don't know. So, as always, John will give us the plot in five words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll go into a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we're going to go to TV Corner, and we're going to review Archive 81, Episode 4, titled Spirit Receivers.
Spirit Receivers. It's a sex thing.
Clearly. Clearly the Mexican lady being possessed was super sexual.
I was into it.
So what'd you think of this? What'd you think of it?
Well, we talked a little bit about it.
No, we don't talk before the episode. And not record it.
I had to do a mini recap for myself because again I was like I swear I saw it, but maybe I didn't see this episode, and I got a little nervous because I was like, fuck, maybe I didn't watch it. Maybe I fucking forgot. But no, I definitely did see it. I just didn't remember any of it.
Yeah. So again, you had that issue where it's kind of just you watch it and then you forget everything that happens in it. Because I feel like a lot happens, right? But none of it really sticks. And I think the problem I'm having with the show now, because I like the show. And I actually really like this episode. Oh, okay. But I thought largely that every episode they're doing like a new movie, genre, trope. This episode's about spirits and ghosts now, right? It's not like the cult thing anymore. Now we're doing spirits, and they talk about different items are able to capture or possess or encompass souls, dead people in them, which is what I think is going on with Dan. That whatever facility he's in has all of those artifacts, and those are all the spirits.
Right. So I do have another theory, by the way. I did think about this. I just, again, forgot because I couldn't. I'm sticking with my guns, and I think Melody is not Melody, but an evil thing. Because I'm waiting for like this like big reveal. And I also think Dan is being conditioned on purpose to be possessed by the tapes.
I think
like they want him to go through all these things. Okay.
No, I got you. Yeah. That guy, I could see.
Because it kind of feels like that guy Virgil and that lady, I forgot what her name is, are kind of doing these things on purpose, so he is being pushed to do certain things and making it seem like he's doing these things on his own. Like, oh, I need to figure this out. Oh, I need to get into this building.
There is a bit of more. There is still the mystery of why he was hired. Why did he pick him? Why he, you know, what's actually going on at that facility?
Yeah.
My guess was that they are the stuff that was in that lady's home. I don't remember her name, which is probably important. Cassandra. She had all those artifacts, and they all have spirits. They just like that medallion, because they mentioned that she had a lover who came to that hotel. This is definitely the episode of backstory. We're going to backstory the fuck out of this. So that's what a lot of the first part of this episode was before the seance. And I think that part of it was that artifacts are... things are left behind, like a can of paint. There was a painter who left something in a can of paint, right? And there's, if you look at the medallion, Melody looks in the medallion, and the medallion like looks at her, whatever is reflected, which is just her, but reflected back. So there's clearly something going on with these objects being possessed. And of course we saw that when they were chanting in the downstairs basement, or wherever they were, mm-hmm. it was toward an artifact, right? Which kind of led to them, which... So I think whatever is happening, all those little things are in that building and drives people crazy because they're around and they're free or whatever, right? So I think that's part of it, is that this larger group is, I'm thinking this large, Virgil, the main business guy, whatever this company was called, I forget, they are either part of the cult or collect culty stuff. And Dan is somehow mixed into it because with his dad. And I'm starting to suspect that Dan can see dead people, and he's able to see dead people since he was a child. I'm starting to think the child he's playing with is dead. I don't know if you got that sense.
Oh, you know what? There is a flashback photo that didn't make any sense to me because he was like this white kid. And there is a Bruce Willis was there too. So this makes sense.
Like I said, they're like, this show just wants everything, trope, every, like, they're throwing all the kitchen sink in terms of like ghost story, cult story, horror, suspense, thriller. They're just freaking everything, every story mechanic possible in this show.
So do you think
I still enjoyed it?
There are Do you think that there are 80 different artifacts that they have already collected that are possessed?
Whoa.
You think that's the
idea?
Yeah.
He's the 81st. Boom.
And I don't think it's the tapes themselves. I think it's the actual recording device, or it's right?
Dan. Dan's the 81st.
Oh.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know. That's a good explanation, though, that there are, he's an archivist. So he's archiving something, right? 81 objects, 81 things. That actually tracks. So I definitely wanted to point out, like, I really enjoyed this seance. I thought the seance was really good. I really liked the actress. I thought she was really good. Forget her name. Because I'm bad.
I guess like Beatrice, something, right?
Beatrice Reyes. That's the name of the character, and the actress is Sol Miranda. Yeah. She was excellent, I thought, in this part. I thought she was great. She played. she was really good. She played, had nice scenes towards the end. Really intense, scary stuff, and that whole seance thing I thought was really well done. And like I think we alluded to, I don't know if we did it before or after the show or before the show, but we alluded to the fact that Dan and Melody are able to communicate with each other even in the past.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of weird.
So it's just super weird, right?
You know, my favorite part of the episode, honestly, because the seance is badass, but was that weird lover, like another lover's quarrel, like homeboy decides to date another person, right? And then still brings his ex and Melody to the same seance. Yeah. I'm like, what is going on with this guy?
Yeah, no.
It's like, what an interesting choice. Yeah. It's problems people have when they're so handsome.
I wouldn't know. Handsome people problems. I don't got them.
No. I mean, I don't either, but you witnessed me pull off some miracles.
I thought this show, this worked really well. I don't know. There was even like, I really liked the beginning too, because there was even like an old 80s news footage about the ladies and their history and stuff like that.
Yeah, you know what? We haven't really been touching on that at all. Each episode kind of begins like that. Or at least towards the beginning of the episode, there's a different commercial we just never talk about.
Yeah, which makes sense, because Dan likes to, he collects anything, right? He, in the first episode, he buys like whatever videotapes. So
unless these things are all certain objects that are archive number whatever that are possessed.
Yeah. Who do you think T. Bellows is? Because he's the one writing all the notebooks. He's the one that had, he was there before Dan, and Dan brought up a question. He's just like, I don't even know where I am. I don't even know, like, what do you do? I don't know. He doesn't have no idea. So it's kind of like what that place actually is. And what it does is kind of like, I thought was a good bringing that central point back, right?
Yeah.
What is the mystery of this facility? And clearly somebody was there before, right?
Yeah, so Thaddeus, right?
Whoever this T. Bellows is.
Yeah, Thaddeus Bellows.
Huh?
Thaddeus?
Who's that?
Thaddeus Bellows. I'm making that up. No, I don't know. I have no clue. I went back and tried to figure that out. But now I'm remembering everything.
It's funny because T. Bellows seems like he was doing something similar and he stumbled upon some of the same problems or like hallucinants or like dreams or nightmares that Dan was having. So he kept like detailed notebooks. So in the beginning of this episode, Dan's trying to break into that room with the keypad. And this guy had already figured it out. He had already tried a bunch of numbers and he written down the correct one. So it kind of like leads it to, was it left there on purpose? Is it all set up? Or is there a real person maybe there at one point?
That's why I'm saying
clearly,
I think the path has already been paved for him. Paved for him, not paved.
Works both ways.
Yeah, yeah. T. Bellows. I don't know. That's such a cool little crumpet for you to snack on before the next episode.
It's gonna wildly change themes again. We'll be doing a totally different type of show. But this one worked more for me than the last one, so I'll see what the next one is. Put this on and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to get this episode. Am I going to like it? Is it going to be boring? And I actually quite enjoyed it. I surprisingly enjoyed it. So you have any last thoughts?
No.
You trying to figure out who T. Bellows is?
Maybe. I don't think we're going to get that answer in the next episode either, unfortunately. No, I think the show's getting better. I'll be honest. I think now that the other shows that I've been watching are over and I've finished watching them, I won't be like, oh man, I just kind of want to watch this right now. But, cause I think it is getting better.
Alrighty. Let's move on to our main review as John is, getting a helicopter attack.
What the fuck is that? All right. Because we're going to review.
It sounds like you're getting shot at. Jesus Christ. What the fuck? He's good.
Oh, I think somebody is running their, what do you call it? A garbage disposal or something upstairs.
All right. Threw me off. But this week we are reviewing The Beach House. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Other people want to keep in touch. That has nothing to do with the band, unfortunately.
For Johnny's five-word plot summary for The Beach House. Coming in at number... How many do I have? Five.
Five? Grabbers, whoa. Okay.
Grabbers find a way around alcohol. Little throwback to our drunk episode.
Good one. Nice. We gotta do our next St. Patty's one.
Oh, it's coming up soon. Shit.
It's gonna be Leprechaun. We do Leprechaun.
Yeah, so Leprechaun in the Hood. No, please no. happy birthday, Stover.
Coming in at number four for The Beach House, as I'm being showered by thunderstorms above.
It's very, very ominous, very moody, you know, plot summary.
Continually making bad decisions result.
Yeah, that's true. Sure.
I can't.
It's just accurate.
Yeah, I don't, maybe you're not supposed to care about these people.
Coming in at number three, young lady forgets fog lights.
Again, that's just a bad decision she has.
Coming in at number two for The Beach House, four people who get worms.
That's a good one.
And coming in at number one for The Beach House, people get sentimental and mushy.
Just like the band, The Beach House.
Yeah, exactly. And boy, do they get mushy.
Every Beach House song sounds like... I was going to say, every Beach House song sounds like mushy. Like they're reflecting on this very sad part of their life all the time.
I remember one time I saw Beach House. And it's the only time I've seen him play like this, but I forgot what the lead singer's name is. And she could have been on some sort of stimulant, but she was headbanging so fucking hard. But the songs were still the same. It wasn't like they sped up or anything like that. But she was like fucking all in. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Black and white horse, just like fucking headbanging.
That reminds me of I was watching Titan and they had a really good Future Island song on there. I was like, oh fuck yeah, I haven't heard Future Island in a long time. So I was like, I was started watching them on YouTube, and yeah, that guy, the fucking singer, is so into his music. It's like, it's so great.
Something harrying, right? Yeah, he's really yeah. And to think that that guy is your age. Yeah,
oh,
or
shit.
He's like in between nice. Our in between the two of it, like, which is like a 2-year difference, but like he's like, you know, like he is in our okay? general yeah. age, which I found surprising.
Yeah,
not saying
yeah.
anything. I'm not trying to say anything negative. Just he looks much more mature. Let's put it that way. Is that a nice thing to say? Even though when you're or mid to late 30s. It's
not the best thing to say. Yes, but no, yeah, it just made me remind me of that. It was excellent. Titan, watch it. It's excellent too, by the way.
Oh, real quick, let me talk about, so last night I was out with my buddy and we were outside because we only do outside stuff, right? So we're at the patio having a beer. And these two young ladies decided, obviously they were going to try to like flirt with us. But then these two dudes that were younger than us, that were from Reading, England, right? Not London, but Reading. And no, Essex, right? They were from Essex. And they were like, started talking like, oh, my God, you guys got accents. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, OK, cool. Because when they started like trying to, I guess, be flirty, I looked at them and I was like, oh, did some parent lose their daughter? What's going on here? young lady, does your mom know you're drinking?
No, I totally get that. Too young.
Yeah. Anyway, my new girlfriend is 19. Just kidding. yeah, all right. Moving on with the beach house. What a edge of your seat, thrilling movie. It's like, you know what I want in a movie? I want four boring characters to meet each other. And then,
okay.
And then I guess get attacked by worms, but not really, because they're allowing it to happen, it seems. And then that's the movie. Yeah. That's kind of the whole movie. Sorry, spoilers. I just reviewed the whole movie.
I'm in the middle. There's things I liked. There's things that could have been better, right? I think this movie is, like you said, its pace can be so slow. And I think this is a common theme we're finding now for our latest run of movies is I don't think there's enough movie here. For a movie.
It felt like a really stretched thin, like Twilight Zone episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the only good part was the last 30 minutes, right? And honestly, it felt like the whole beginning did not tie in very well.
It's thrown together. I mean, pretty fast. Because
they try to do like human connections and then like some sort of mystery, but then there's nothing.
So I read the director was influenced because he wrote it in Cape Cod. I guess this is set in Cape Cod, right? So he wrote it in Cape Cod because he was breaking up with somebody. And you could totally tell this is a breakup movie. This is a movie you write when you're super sad and you just hate, you know, you're going through shit and you're trying to figure shit out. And it has a really downer ending. And
he's like, so,
and kind
he
of
wrote
just,
the entire, like the first hour. Right. And then they're like, oh, well, right now we're looking for a horror movie. Don't worry about it. And he's like, no, I got you. Worms. That's it. That's the ticket. Worms.
Worms.
It's not even worms, but it's
and it's funny because it's pretty well accurate. There's a very disturbing scene with a worm happening in this movie.
Did they let it happen?
With one of our main characters.
You know, a normal person would not let it happen, but they let it happen.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, like, the director, Jeffrey Brown, he says that he was inspired by, like, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Alien, and he wanted the movie, like, Crazy, which I didn't like. I remember you liking. So I thought going into this would be kind of, like, very raw drama and a couple. And I kind of like the setup, even though it was kind of poorly set up, between there's this older couple and this younger couple, and they're kind of fighting for reasons, and then this older couple, and I think they could have done more there, and they're kind of stuck in this house, and I think they could have done more with that premise, but it seems like too much in a hurry to set up this invasion of creatures from the sea, I guess. Well, right? I don't know what the hell they were.
I guess if you're paying attention to what's your name's dialogue, it's like, okay, she kind of talks about what's basically happening at the end with her studies as a scientist and what she's finding in the ocean and all this blah, 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 blah. And then my favorite thing is, like, they show up to this place. And again, it's like the actor's choices, but maybe it was the direction. They were so boring. They were so bland. And then the most expressionless people I've ever seen in a movie. Until you get Celebrated English guy. What's his name from the Dawn of the Dead reboot?
Jake Weber. Yeah, I love Jake Weber. Had nothing to do in this movie. Fantastic actor. love him in this, love him just as an actor, but had nothing to do in this movie.
Neither of them did.
He does have that one scene. He had that one scene before he goes away.
Yeah.
Before he goes into the ocean that I actually liked it. His delivery and his like his moment there, his little monologue he has there was really good.
I mean, he's always amazing. And I've seen What's Her Face before, but I just can't pinpoint where. Marianne Nagel? I thought she was great too.
Okay.
She was very good. Like somebody that's going through, like, I guess dementia, sort of. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early stages of it or something. And that's what they're there for.
That was the part of that sad monologue he had. But yeah, then just that young lady, that actress has like the most dead eyes. I don't know. It was like bothering me the entire movie. And then the other guy just was there. It felt like he was there because it was his dad's beach house. And then he was there. Like they all felt like they were there.
Something. Like, yeah.
Cause they show up and then he's like, oh, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to fuck. No, she doesn't say that, but they just go up and they have sex, I guess. And then they wake up to two people that have been here because they didn't bother to go check out the rest of the house. They're just like, let's go have sex and fall asleep.
It's just, I hate to like rethink movies. I hate doing that, but I just get ideas, right? So like this movie opens and I knew we're kind of was like, okay, it's like the scene was essentially a car drives up very slowly to the beach house and then slowly turns and they park. And I'm like, oh God, that's probably all. It's just like the most like boring way to introduce this. Like, I don't know if it could have started with them maybe fighting each other, yelling at each other, bickering, you know, that kind of like set off the scene a little better because it's so like nothing is happening. They could have just completely cut like the whole car, slow car drive up. And I've seen those establishing car shots done a million times, like when I used to work on sets or like when I, you know, other movies and stuff. It's like none of these shots ever work.
But what they if should be cut, you keep that? Anyways. And then you recut it with the score from Dan in Real Life.
I would. That's Dan in Real Life's a fan. Very, very fine movie.
So if you just recut it with that song, that Sandra Larke song, right?
It
works. even they have like a mini argument ? About what if we just stay here forever? It's like, okay. I wonder if that's foreshadowing. As I roll my eyes.
So you're saying you went to the whiskey early?
No, unfortunately, no. I was just hungover trying to deal with the couch. And I'm like, all right, let me sit down and watch this and relax. And I'm like, oh, man.
I'm not going to relax.
Because, there was no, again, she... had such dead eyes. I guess I just couldn't get over that. So like the whole her inner like conflict, which I guess she accepts at the end, which I thought was kind of dumb.
Spoiler. Well, you know, I don't want to completely trash this movie. I liked it. I definitely see all the problems we're mentioning. But I did like that there was, I liked the mood and the atmosphere of the movie. I thought that it had a lot of very forbearing sense to it. And I thought that it had a nice, even though we're making fun of the worms, I thought the worm stuff, fun, the alien stuff.
It was cool.
That stuff works. Yeah, it's the little invasion happening
straight up grabbers, as this
couple is sort of on the outs. They look like
the pots from Grabbers.
Yeah.
And also, have you seen The Color of Space?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, this is... that's why I thought maybe this movie is inspired by the H.P. Lovecraft story. Because
The Color of Space
is like the same exact thing, except a little bit faster.
It very well could be. if, you know, like I bet it probably was took some inspiration from H.P. Lovecraft. I definitely see that. Yeah.
Harry Potter Lovecraft. Isn't that crazy?
The yes. What?
No, Harry Potter Lovecraft. So, many people don't know.
There was something kind of fun about them getting high as they're under attack, I guess, from an alien invasion. They decide to have some sort of brownie or food edible, right? Yeah. And with this couple who they're kind of hitting it off with, I guess they're just having fun or whatever, right?
Yeah,
and they ended up having it. And where's the orgy scene? No, yeah. And I really like that. You know, I like the fog, and I like that there's environmental changes happening, and I like that it's happening at a beach because it's, you know, going to a beach is always terrifying, even though it's supposed to be fun. There's things in the water yeah. that could definitely hurt you, kill you, injure you. Just, I think people have this like, oh, let's go to the beach, let's have fun and let's swim and blah, blah, blah. But like, I had a near drowning experience once. And there's shit always in the sea and stuff like that. So it's like, you could die. The sea could kill people, further proving that, you know, my theory that the sea's evil. So
yeah,
definitely matched up with my beliefs.
And now people understand that there are jellyfish that are filled with worms. Just kidding.
Yeah. And I just think that they did a really good job of portraying, like, I think it'd be interesting that if the environment were to become hostile, I think human becomes very fragile, right? Where we would slowly go away. And I think they portrayed that fairly well. That was interesting the way they did it through the movie. And there was
yeah.
with the overall set and mood, I just think that by the time we kind of get a larger picture of an invasion type deal, you know, I'll call it that, the movie grinds to a halt. Like, we're running out of movie. Yeah. You know, and then I think that was probably the biggest thing is, go ahead.
Yeah. They didn't even bother to add a scene with Mark Wahlberg talking to a plant.
No. Yeah. And I don't know. I think we could talk about Emily's foot thing where she steps on the... That's a little trippy. I think that movie, that's a good word to portray. It's like, there's certain aspects of this movie that's very trippy. Like, it definitely has like, it's definitely going for like, kind of like, psychedelic kind of trippy.
Yeah.
Imagery, psychedelica as this invasion is, spreading, right? Through the fog, through the sea, and they're sort of like seeing different colors and different kind of germations and sort of particles everywhere. So
I kind of
wish it's kind of interesting.
You had seen the color space, because like everything you're just talking about, I feel like the color space just did better, you know, because it is the same exact idea. All of a sudden there's this weird hue in the world and people are like, what's going on? And then there's like a big reveal, but it happens a lot quicker.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I thought the cinematography was actually really well done, really well. That was one of the things that really stood out. There were a couple of scenes that I thought the cinematography portrayed this movie like kind of like a lo-fi kind of movie. Like, it's like science fiction, but it's like lo-fi kind of vibe to it. And I think they did fairly well overall for what I'm assuming is a very small budget film. There are instances where it does feel very, very small. Yes. Like, stuff I worked on small. Like, not like you, John. No, you're being small. Yeah. this is the stuff I get off. This is the stuff I used to get offered. Like, go to Topanga for like 2 weeks and live in a house. The shit I got offered. Stuff like that. And I want to say overall, the movie, didn't have tons of CG, right? Am I crazy? Or
no, I don't think it. I don't think it did.
Pretty.
Everything looked. Even the lighting looked practical. I mean, except for like the trees and shit. The trees obviously were CG, but yeah, I don't know. Like even some of the effects, honestly, kind of look like After Effects stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. Most of it looked practical. Like even the, at some point you see some goopy people, or mushy people, and that's obviously like all prosthetic.
Yeah.
The mush people.
Slimy.
Yeah.
The mush people. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
The chud. The cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
These clearly the mushy people's munching on some other man or something, right?
Which like also didn't make sense to me, but I guess they're all being drugged by the air, right?
The air is drugged. Similar, just like now. Who knew?
Fuck yeah. But but it's not the fun air drugs.
No.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, again, like I brought up the foot. I don't think I talked about the foot where she... So this is the part that I didn't get. So after getting super stoned, they decide, and there's clearly a lot of shitty fog everywhere. They decide to go, oh, we're going to sit at the beach for reasons. He, of course, gets the shits. He gets really, really bad shits and he leaves. And she...
Oh, it's man stuff. That's his line.
She has a scene with... It's man stuff. It's he did say that. Yeah.
It's like, I got to go to the beach house. This is man stuff. Don't worry about it.
It was weird. And so she ends up having that encounter with Stephen Weber's character. And he does beautiful shot where it's just like super long lens. And the guy like walks deep into the water and he just disappears in the water after having this long, beautiful monologue. And
so, why he doesn't come back. Do we understand?
Oh, he's dead.
Why he randomly showed up after being missing for a while, not taking care of his wife, and then understanding it kind of seemed like he understood what was happening, which didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those where I want to say he understood what was going on. Maybe he had heard what was going on. That's why he wasn't there.
So he doesn't warn. And
saw what was going on with his wife because she had.
But instead of warning people, it's just an acceptance thing. Which, again, I really like that scene. But
I want to say from his perspective, a way to approach it would be his whole life was his wife, right? And she's clearly like her health is going. So he sees what she's becoming. He sees what's going on. And maybe he's even infected by something. I think it's kind of like the way this movie ends. Maybe it was something he was marrying as well. Maybe he was going through a transformation.
Yeah, because he was limping.
So he maybe thought it was the end. I believe he was, yeah. So he clearly
stepped on the decided jellyfish.
To just be like, okay, I'm gonna go.
Yeah.
And then she steps. She tries to like after he gets about 100 feet in the water, she's like, stop. Oh, where'd man. You go?
I'm gonna argue in a very and say low that, tone. That he got in like maybe like 5 feet before she started freaking out, and I'm like, let him go for a fucking swim, dude. Like, I'm sure it's going to be bad, but stop. Let him do his thing.
I specifically remember, like, his head disappeared in the water, and then she was like, no, come back. No. It's like something like that. And it was just like...
Because she was taught at a young age, when you go play on the beach, you only go at ankle-level water. Any deeper is bad news.
And she doesn't notice that there's, like, I guess all these, like, sea creatures that have washed up ashore, and she ends up stepping on one, which infects her with whatever the heck this is.
Or you walk, right? I am constantly looking down to make sure I'm not going to step in shit or something. Like, how does somebody, like, especially on a beach where you're, like, your feet are digging into sand. Like, it feels like there's, like, a long delay, but there's, like, several moments like this in the movie. There's, like, a long delay before she's, like, What is my foot inside of right now? What is this really gushy, gooey-looking jellyfish? Oh, it's just earthworms.
Honestly, I think that's just, like, maybe this is editing. Could be editing. Could be the way they edit it.
You know? I mean, not just that, but, like, so the worm, you already see it digging into her foot because she picks up her foot and, like, this thing was, like, eating away at... I mean, I'm guessing the jellyfish... I don't know. Maybe had a bunch of acid in it or something and started deteriorating her foot quickly. And then this, like, earthworm-type looking thing started digging itself into her foot. And she's like, oh, no. So she decides to walk all the way back to the fucking beach house before pulling the fucking worm out. I'm like, dude, I would have grabbed that fucking thing by the thing and yanked it out. Like, why? I don't want it to go into my body.
I think she was scared. She was trying to find what's his face, right? Yeah,
Mitch.
Randall.
I know I said Mitch.
Mitch. Sure. I don't remember. Sure.
No, Mitch was Jake Weber. That's right.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Mitch was Jake Weber.
And then I thought it was kind of funny that she used vinegar later.
Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. And she ends up begins to pull it out, which is actually kind of gruesome to watch. Well, not bad to watch, but I wasn't like, I was about to throw up or anything. It was a nice intense scene. I think that the actress, she did a good job of like, I think she kind of progressively shows a lot of like mounting fear throughout the movie pretty well. Like the way the world is changing around her, I think she's like reacting to it fairly well. And I think she did a really strong job. The other guy, I think the other guy had less to do and less defined overall as a character. So it was a little tougher for him, and he gets sick right away. Yeah. He just plays sick pretty much to the end.
I don't know. I suppose there are a lot of other questions I have. I'm guessing now that you mentioned that the dude was going through a breakup when he wrote this, that is probably the reasoning behind why she's a smoker. Because even the conversation, sure. I was like, oh, okay, I wonder how this ties in, but it doesn't. I don't know. A lot of questions I had about the movie after it ended. I'm like, how did that tie into this? Like, why was there such a long conversation about this? Or like, but I suppose, yeah, now that I know it's a breakup story, I'm like, oh, okay.
We could talk about what we mean by a breakup story. We could talk about it in spoilers. Let's go into spoilers.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
spoilers. Everybody dies.
Everybody dies. Everybody's dead.
As explained by sketchy, weird phantom voice on the radio. Like, why was he talking like that?
This just seems like... So they end up escaping the beach house and they kind of stumble into town, and that town is transforming, you know. Basically, everyone's been infected. Well, there's a couple people in the house. There's a guy crawling and there's some people in the house, and that's about it.
And then luckily they find oxygen tanks, some scuba gear, and a bunch of filtered water that happened to be laying around the house in jugs.
Yeah. You don't have filtered water, you know, just laying around the house?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, that's Catherine O'Hara. Yeah. Catherine, do we have any filtered jugs of water lying around?
No, only water from my bye-bye.
And only two people would get that reference. Yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to...
So what happens? So they get to that house and homeboy is getting progressively sicker. And then they kind of show... Yeah,
and he dies.
He gets... Or I guess she breaks his neck? Maybe?
Oh, yeah, because he transforms. I forgot, yeah. Once he, quote-unquote, dies, he transforms and into whatever crawling, these things are. And she beats his head in with the scuba tank and, or whatever.
And then she finds some keys. Oh yeah, this is after, right before this though, is when she goes into that basement looking for supply, I guess. And then she turns on the light and sees one of the mushy people eating another person. Or was the mushy person coming out of the person? Because I did like stop and look at it and I was like, wait, am I looking at this wrong actually? I couldn't figure that one out. I was chalking it up to...
No, I think he's eating him.
I thought maybe he was eating him. But it also looked like the way the makeup was formed, it looked like he was kind of coming out of his chest too. I don't
know. They looked like they did a lot of masking. So like they didn't want to like mask it. And then he was just like eating him and then like looking kind of deal. And then... You know,
masking what?
That was it. That was the whole scene. Never to be heard from again.
Yeah. What do you mean masking?
The look of the creature and real. The design, you know.
You're ruining the movie for me now.
Yeah, this really.
So she runs, kills her boyfriend, which is fine because he was going to ruin her life, I guess. And then, she finds some keys, starts honking the horn because she couldn't figure out that the car would be outside. I guess she was maybe it was going to be inside the house or in the garage or something. I don't know. So she walks out, gets in the truck, and then she fails to turn on the fog lights. So she can't really see in front of her. No, I'm sure she had the fog lights on, but like she can't see in front of her. And then the car, what happens to the car? Does something happen to the car or does she just run into the trees? Because it looked like it could have been avoided.
There's so much fog and so much hysteria with her trying to not breathe in the air that she ends up crashing into a tree. Yeah.
Sure. And then
she falls out into some sort of pond situation. Wash up on the ocean, is infected now. Before she dies, she says that she's not going to be scared. And the water takes her away.
Very quickly, I might add.
Yeah.
Blink of an eye just vanishes.
I think it's a metaphor.
No,
I don't know.
I think the worms, there was a lot of them. And they went to Feast Town.
They just all scurried and picked her up and took her away.
And then the credits start rolling. It fades to black. The credits start rolling. And then there's a fade in. And then it's just the beach. Empty and
I missed
looking
all
as
that.
Pretty
I didn't
as
finish.
looking as pretty as it did at the beginning. Like everything went back to normal, but nobody's there anymore. That was it?
That's weird.
There was also a bunch of names. Yeah, exactly.
Everything goes back to normal.
Exactly like a breakup.
No, but yeah.
I'm living this movie right now.
Breakup is like a beach house.
Yeah. Missed opportunity not using beach houses songs. Yeah.
Too expensive. Probably too expensive.
Would they?
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
Alrighty. John, do you have any last thoughts?
No. Just obviously the takeaway from this movie is don't do drugs and don't drink. Don't eat edibles with strangers. I don't know.
Those are all things you don't practice, John. So I don't understand. No. I thought this was, for a low-budget movie, I thought the director did a really good job of he has a real like minimalist eye. He created a really like lo-fi kind of sci-fi movie, horror-inspired. I think he misses the mark on the story. I think he misses the mark. I think he runs out of story. Yeah. About like an hour in, he's out. He's out of the story. We're just stumbling along to the end. Very interesting movie. Had a lot of atmosphere and I think terror to it. But not bad. Not bad. This is his first movie. And I thought there was a lot to take from it. Good cinematography. Nice cinematography, actually. And yeah. I think there's things that he can work on as well. So kind of mixed, but
like maybe I was going to say maybe next time make sure that the lead one, I guess, because he made the lead male actor just a real sleepy guy. Like, you don't need to make them sleepy people. Most of that character was just him sleeping.
No, I got you.
I'm going to give the Beach House 4.8 sexy spooky bones.
It was almost middle of the road for me. It was just, bones. I don't know. There was moments I didn't love.
I think this is a very middle of the road movie too. I think there's some interesting things. I think there's problematic things, like I said. I'm going to give it a 5 sexy spooky bones.
The Beach House, Attack of the Worms.
As we continue our house series of movies we watch.
Nice.
Hey, if you got a horror movie with house in the title, we'll watch it.
Oh, yeah.
We're not.
None of the regular ones, because obviously we're not going to review any of the house series because we've seen all the house movies. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even House. Yeah, of course. So.
Anything else with house?
We'll do it.
We'll take it.
House MD, let's do it.
All right, guys and gals and non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky. Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa. Skeleton crew, it's time. The boys say goodbye. We love all of you. We really have to go poo. We'll miss you, but it's time for us to...